Brought to you by Spreads.ca, Canada's newest online casino and sportsbook. Why gamble playing with the other sites when you can play all your favorite slots and table games at the casino made for Canada? Spreads.ca has over 500 games like Mega Moolah and Live Dealer Blackjack. Head over to the sportsbook and check out all the best betting markets. When signing up at Spreads.ca, enter code TILLBILL25, make a deposit, and get a 100% match bonus and a $25 free sports bet. Just for registering at Spreads.ca, you'll get 10 free spins for $1 million. Go to Spreads.ca and sign up now with code TILLBILL25.
Brought to you by Thornhill Smiles Dental, located at 390 Steeles Avenue West. Thornhill Smiles is your one-stop dental center in Thornhill, from general dentistry to implants, root canal therapy, and cosmetic dentistry. Call for a free consultation today, 905-707-6477. We speak English, French, Spanish, Russian, Arabic, Hebrew, and Persian, and are conveniently located on Steeles between Bathurst and Yonge. That's 905-707-6477 to book your free consultation now.
Now we go into MLS. We welcome in John Nelson from OSG Sports in Atlanta. How you doing, John?
Here we go. All right. It's Atlanta and Hartford. Go ahead and dial it up. Let's see where we go.
Get things going on Atlanta, because Inter Miami is who they were matched up against. And John, I guess I want to get your scouting report on what you think of Gonzalo Higuain so far, and how do you think Atlanta has been performing lately?
Obviously, top talent in MLS. I think, though, that what Inter Miami is going to have to watch is the man's dietary choices. I mean, they're going to have to make sure that he stays in playing shape for the remainder of this season if they're going to do anything resembling a playoff push. Their games down the stretch are pretty difficult. They still have issues at the back defensively. And just because you have Blaise Matuidi and Gonzalo Higuain, they ain't backtracking to help you stop folks. And when you have a back line of Figal, De La Garza, Ben Sweat, LGP, it's porous. And you also don't have Luis Robles. Yes, you have John McCarthy now in net, but I just think that they're probably going to end up giving up a lot more goals than they'll score with the talent that they have up top. Now that they're getting Pizarro back from national team duty, that'll help out as well. But I just think that it's going to be a tall order for them, even with all the firepower that they've added up top. I think that the point that was earned in Miami by Atlanta United was a great point for them, because once again, going in, you didn't have Marcelino Moreno. He played 60 in that first match a week ago, and just the recovery time got to him. He wasn't ready to get back and in this schedule compression, play that quickly on a turnaround. You still don't have Ezequiel Barco, and you did not have Franco Escobar because of a knock in training. I will say this, that I think that Atlanta United at the back is very, very deep, and you're going to need that kind of roster rotation going into this final stretch of a handful of games. We've seen from George Bello at left back, he is developing into a tremendous talent. If he's not in consideration for, at the very least, the Olympic squad for the United States, I think that there's a problem with the process. I think that Anton Walks has been a great pickup, bringing him back from Portsmouth. You see a player who's older, who's become more comfortable. I think that initially he was brought in as a depth piece, but because of injuries to Fernando Meza, who was brought in from Liga MX, and Miles Robinson was dinged up for a couple of games, that you're seeing the relationship with Miles and Anton grow. I think that also when you're seeing a healthy Franco Escobar, seeing him slide in at center back, he said when he first showed up that he's a center back who can play outside back. And so you're seeing a calmer, more locked in Franco Escobar when he's paired in a center back pairing, which means that you can drop Brooks Lennon back. Jürgen Damm is getting healthy off of that initial hamstring pull. So I think that with the depth that Atlanta has, Kubo Torres is back from his knee injury. So I think that as you're getting closer to the playoffs, I think that Atlanta could be a dangerous team because of the depth that they have once everybody gets healthy getting into the postseason.
Yeah, and speaking of the Eastern Conference, Carmen, I'll get you in on this one. Philadelphia has been they've been consistent, but now they've leapfrogged over Columbus as of late, and they're a couple points back of Toronto in the Eastern Conference. So do you think Philadelphia is still that team where they're close to being a top team? They're just not there yet. They're missing a piece or two.
No, I think they are a top team. I think they are a top team, but I think they need to, I think they need to offer more in quality. I mean, I said top team. I think they have some very good individuals, but I think they're missing that Pozuelo, that 10. I think they're missing that, that game changer. That's consistent. And maybe someone to support him. So you look at TFC with Pozuelo, they bring in Piatti, and they've developed Akinola. So like there's so many different types of weapons. And I think Philadelphia's best weapon is their team play, is their team defensive organization, is how they're defending creates opportunities in attack. I think that Curtin has done an amazing job with that group and with that depth. And I think that they will be a very tough team to beat in a playoff situation. And I think that they still miss that one and supporting one that do a good job of game changing.
Yeah, and John, I guess same to you. Like, if you're going to a playoff picture right now and Atlanta, if they start picking it up, like if you're Philadelphia, is this a bad position to be number two or do you want to drop down?
You got home games until the bitter end. I mean, what you want to do, if you're in that 7-10, you want to finish 7 or 8 in that playoff round. That means that you get that home, you get the home game in the play-in round. The last thing you want to be is the 9-10. Then have to go on the road. And if you win on the road, your entire run is on the road. So if you're in that first group of, if you're in that group of 7-10, you want to be the 7 or 8. So you at least start off at home. I think in the East, you're looking at Toronto, you're looking at Philadelphia. I'm not sold on Columbus, especially with what happened midweek in Hell is Real when Cincinnati actually scored goals for the first time since Pierre Trudeau was prime minister. And knocking off Columbus 2-1. Yes, I know Columbus didn't have Zellerion, and I think a lot is also contingent upon having Eloy Room between the sticks. But I'm not sold on Columbus long term. So I would say really my one and my two are Toronto and Philadelphia. And to Coach's point, I think where Hartford is concerned, Pablo Piatti, definitely no one is talking enough about what we're seeing from him this year. With what we're seeing out of that roster. And I think he's a guy who's been flying below the radar. All the conversation drifts to Pozuelo, but I think that Piatti has done tremendously well this season. And for Philadelphia, I think it's almost Borg-like. It's about the collective. And, we've seen the news today with Brendan Aaronson. I think that Mark McKenzie isn't long for being in Philadelphia as well. But, then you're looking at just the depth that they have in defense. And then I think the key against going up against the Philadelphia side is get a lead on them. So that way the traditional element is to bring in Ilsenio in, say, the 60th, because that's all he's good for. You bring him in for a 30, and you know that you've got that catalyst there offensively. If you can get Philadelphia playing from behind, then you wonder, do you bring in Ilsenio sooner? Do you have to sit there and think about things defensively? And does Ilsenio stay on the bench a little longer? And so I think that the collective for Philadelphia is one way to go about things. And we're seeing on the flip side with Hartford that you're seeing just how strong they can be when a Michael Bradley is not in the lineup and when a Jose Altidore is not in the lineup. You have Piatti, you have Pozuelo, you have Akinola up top. The center backs still worry me. Mavinga and Gonzalez getting a little long in the tooth. And Mavinga has shown in the past that he will make a decision that will be poor at the back, that will create a set piece opportunity for the opposition. And also we've seen from Mavinga the times he gets a little hot-headed and can't control himself at the back as well. So I think that if you can skip lines and get to Toronto's back with speed, I think that that's something that folks need to look at as well going on to this home stretch.
Yeah, and one of the final topics here of the MLS as a whole. Carmen, yesterday speaking to Marc-Anthony Kay, one of your former players at York University, and I asked him the question of, let's say the climate right now with COVID says, we need to have a bubble for the playoffs. He would think he would be against it because they've been so used to not being in the bubble this last stretch of games, and it might impact the way the team plays. So do you think, even as a coach, that these teams should be in a bubble for the playoffs?
I do, because of safety measures, because of continuity in play, because you're going to be ensured that they're following protocols, that they're under the same guidelines as they are, and they're all monitored. I think that for the sake of getting through this, it's important that they should be in a bubble. And the Orlando, as far as the Orlando experiment and MLS's back experiment, you know, I don't think there's much negative to talk about that. You know, we can avoid the Nashville and the Dallas situations by taking that 2 weeks
Colorado
playoff situation and in a bubble. And I think for TV and for presentation and for that part of it, the marketing value of it, I think it all makes sense. Do the players suffer for that 1 month or 2 week or whatever long it takes? Absolutely. Is it looking at these players like they are more chattel or being used? Absolutely. But again, just for the sake of continuity, the sake of safety, the bubble makes the most sense for me.
And John, similar question to you. Like, I asked also Greg Vanney when his pre-match availability, and like there's still no update as to what's going to go on in the playoffs, and we're less than a month away. So are you hearing anything on that, and what would you think about a bubble?
As of right now, I think that it's going to be home sites, limited attendance, that kind of stuff. Announcement came out earlier this afternoon from Toronto FC that they're going to allow fans at Rentschler Field for the November 1st match. And so we'll see what limited capacities are. And I think that really what you're looking at, and this for me is across the board in sports right now, I think that when you see games where you have percentage capacities, these are week by week auditions to be able to do it the next time. All of your protocols, all of your ideas in place, everything goes off without a hitch, regardless of if you have fans there or not. Internally, from a team perspective, it's your 1 week audition to get to do it all over again. And if everything is successful, then you keep doing it as is, and then you can gradually build out and build out. The issues that I could foresee with a bubble scenario, one, bringing everybody back into quarantine for 2 weeks for teams 7, 8, 9, and 10, two of those teams are going in for 2 weeks. They're playing one game and then they're out the door. Then everyone else is going to be there for the remainder of the time and what have you. For me, I look at a bubble scenario as a last resort when it comes to what we're seeing with MLS, because also you have to take into account the international schedule and all the qualifiers that are attached to whether it's CONMEBOL, international play, Europa, for players that have to go overseas, then they have to deal with their quarantine issues there as well. And I think that if you go into quarantine, then you're pushing the schedule back and you're having everything pushed back toward what? So let's see. So you're looking at basically Christmas at that point. If you push everything back with quarantine and you're in a bubble, you're pushing it to basically Christmas and you're compressing everything all over again. And you're also you're juggling all of this other stuff that's going on. So I think that a bubble's a last resort, especially with all the scheduling that you have going on, getting everybody prepared for World Cup and so on. It's a lot of stuff that you have to juggle. And I think that what we've seen from MLS and coaches, right, what we saw from MLS is back. in Orlando, that you can do a bubble scenario, but I think that's a last resort, because I think that what you want is to try to do things to where you're not quarantining and then pushing schedules back and creating more of an issue that you had with schedule compression already.